So our next presenter is Jacqueline Hord with the Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Disease at the National Center of Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases Centers, at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. She's going to talk to us about increasing relative burden of laboratory-confirmed Shigella flexneri infections among United States men 2003-2013, an emerging sexually transmitted disease.
Good morning. So first I'm going to give a brief background on shigellosis because most people don't think of shigellosis as a sexually transmitted infection. Shigella is the third most common enteric bacterial infection in the United States and is nationally notifiable. It causes an estimated 500,000 cases of diarrhea, 550 hospitalizations, and 40 deaths in the United States annually. There are four different species of Shigella, but Shigella sonii is the most common species in the United States, followed by Shigella flexneri. Symptoms of shigellosis typically start after a 1 to 4 day incubation period and include diarrhea, fever, and abdominal pain, and generally last about 5 to 7 days. Because illness is typically self-limiting, only severe cases of shigellosis require antibiotics. However, antimicrobial resistance is common among Shigella bacteria. Shigella has a very low infectious dose and is spread through the fecal-oral pathway. Shigella are transmitted when eating food or swallowing water that was contaminated by infected fecal matter. Shigella are most commonly transmitted from person to person in children under 5, in childcare settings and households, as well as through sexual contact, usually among MSM. The burden among MSM is not clear because there is a lack of systematic analysis of shigellosis epidemiology among MSM to determine what are the risk factors for this group. However, a number of outbreak reports during recent years suggests a growing burden in this population, as seen by the outbreak reports on this slide. Given the large number of shigellosis outbreak reports among men as a proxy for MSM, we aim to describe the recent epidemiology of laboratory-confirmed shigellosis in the United States to determine trends and risk groups for Shigella infections. And on to our methods. We included culture-confirmed reports from the Laboratory-Based Enteric Disease Surveillance System, or LEDS, from January 2003 to December 2013. We defined adults as persons greater than or equal to 18 years of age. We calculated shigellosis incidence rates per 100,000 population per year nationally and stratified by sex, age group, and Shigella species to describe shigellosis risk groups. We compared median incidence by age group and sex using Poisson regression and Kendall test of trend. And now for our results. During the study period, over 112,000 Shigella isolates were reported to LEDS. In white, the figure shows about 75% of isolates were Shigella sonii, followed by 12% Shigella flexneri in orange. We determine the incidence of Shigella species by year. The figure shows the incidence of culture-confirmed shigellosis by Shigella species from 2003 to 2013. The blue line indicates the overall incidence, the orange line indicates the incidence of Shigella sonii, and the black line indicates incidence of Shigella flexneri. Incidence of Shigella sonii infections is much greater than that of Shigella flexneri. Next, we looked at incidence by both Shigella species and age from 2003 to 2013. The incidence of adults 20 to 29 are shown in orange, 30 to 39 in black, and those greater than 40 years old shown in green at the bottom of the graph. In general, adults have decreasing significant incidence of shigellosis during the study period. We also looked at incidence by sex, which was reported for 94% of isolates. Overall, the median incidence was slightly greater among females at 3.3 than males at 3.1. However, we found the median incidence among adults differed by sex and Shigella species. The median age was lowest among Sonii isolates. Interestingly, median age varied significantly among Shigella flexneri isolates by sex. The median age for females was 10 and 28 for males. We explored these differences further by calculating male-to-female incidence ratios among adults by Shigellosis species. For Sonii, Bodii, and Dysenteriae, ratios were close to 1:1. However, for Shigella flexneri, adult males were nearly twice that of females. Next, we plotted incidence of Shigella Sonii and Shigella flexneri infection by age group and sex. The red color represents females and the blue males. The dotted lines are Shigella Sonii cases, while the solid lines are Shigella flexneri cases. For all age groups and Shigella species, rates generally declined during 2003 to 2013, except for Shigella flexneri among men. We can see that incidence in this group has been significantly increasing since 2007, with 2013 rates about twice those in 2007. Our study has several limitations. Data were obtained from a passive surveillance system and included only culture-confirmed cases, which likely led to underreporting. Additionally, race data were incomplete or missing for the majority of patients and were not analyzed. Finally, lack of sexual practice and antibiotic resistance data precluded analysis and the inability to link these factors to routinely collected Shigellosis data. So based on our findings, I'll give a brief summary of our conclusions and recommendations. From 2003 to 2013, reports of culture-confirmed Shigellosis generally declined in the United States, but Shigella flexneri incidence increased among adult males. Incidence of Shigella flexneri infections in adults now equal to the typically predominant Shigella sonii infections. Although the surveillance data did not include information about sexual practices or orientation, our findings, in the context of many recent report of outbreaks among MSM, suggest the increase is related to transition among MSM. Based on our findings, we have several recommendations. For clinicians, they can obtain stool cultures among patients suspected or diagnosed with Shigellosis using a culture-independent diagnostic test. Clinicians should request additional follow-up stool cultures if symptoms don't resolve, or for patients with highly drug-resistant Shigella infections to determine whether shedding of Shigella has stopped. They should also request antimicrobial susceptibility testing for Shigella isolates, especially among adult males and for patients where treatment failed. If treatment is required, select antimicrobial agents based on the results of susceptibility testing. Furthermore, clinicians should obtain sexual histories and counsel patients on prevention measures, including prevention of sexual transmission. In addition to clinical recommendations, there are things public health officials can be doing at the national, state, and local levels. First, we can add questions to routine surveillance questionnaires, such as sexual history. Next, we can build bridges with enteric and STI staff to detect sexually transmitted cases earlier and work together to prevent these infections. Finally, we can add culture-independent diagnostic tests to case definitions for Shigellosis, as these tests are becoming more common in clinical settings to diagnose Shigella infections, but recommend reflex cultures to assist with outbreak detection and antimicrobial susceptibility testing. Physicians, health providers, and other advocates should counsel adult men that they can reduce the risk of transmission of Shigellosis by washing hands carefully with soap and water after going to the bathroom, not preparing food for others while ill, avoiding sex if they or their partner has shigellosis until 2 weeks after diarrhea dissolves. They can also reduce the risk of fecal exposure during sex by washing hands, genitals, and anus before and after sexual activity. And finally, using barrier methods during sex. In conclusion, the incidence of Shigella flexneri among adult men is increasing, and more outreach and data collection are needed to better understand this issue. I'd like to acknowledge the following people, and thank you very much.
Question.
Hi, I'm Annie-Claude Labbé from Montreal. I was wondering if the 2 weeks abstinence is based on evidence?
We have some data to show that shedding can last for several weeks after symptoms, although we do need more additional data to follow up. There has been data up to, I think, around 6 or 7 weeks of shedding. But I don't think people would abstain from sexual activity for that long. But that is the highest level of fecal shedding, to our knowledge.
Good morning. This is Neha Sorkar from New York City Department of Health. I have two questions.
I had an additional slide on incidence of children. But the incidence of children is much higher. I think the annual median incidence is around 19.1 in children, so much higher than in adults. And you know, we see that a lot of times in childcare settings and household transmission.
What is the trend over time?
The trend, they're also decreasing over time. I think rates were about 30 per 100,000 in 2003 and decreased to about 8. But I don't have the slide in front
so
of me.
So it's decreasing, but did you check with Shigella flexneri?
I'm sorry?
Shigella flexneri. How about the Shigella flexneri?
Yeah, but Shigella flexneri among children is also decreasing, yeah.
Oh, so all the species are decreasing,
mm-hmm,
right?
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. That was really interesting. My question is whether there's anything particular to Shigella flexneri that would make it more transmissible among, you know, through analingus, for some reason, or whether you think it's just that's the particular Shigella species that's moving in MSM sexual networks?
It's a really great question and something that we're trying to figure out as well. We have seen outbreaks among MSM among Shigella sonii as well, but it might be dissipating a little bit because there's so many outbreaks and infections among children, so we don't see that incline in adults. But to our knowledge, we don't know if there's anything specific for Shigella flexneri. Just possibly it might be or have been circulating among MSM for a while.
Have you guys done any molecular epi on the male isolates?
To my knowledge, no, but we're continuing to do more studies and collect more data. So thank you.
Thanks.
So I have a follow-up question similar to that. I mean, assuming that even heterosexuals, right, have cunnilingus or anilingus, so they may be exposed to these infections, have you guys looked at the geographic distribution of these cases? Because if you may find, you know, clusters in specific geographic areas, then you can target some of these interventions that you suggested to those populations of MSM.
Yeah, I have looked at rates by region. It looks like rates in the south are actually the highest. We did look at rates by urban and rural areas as well, and there was not much difference between urban and rural areas, but, you know, we do see a higher proportion of outbreaks in urban areas, but that's, you know, something we can definitely look further into.
Thank you very much.